Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to the Chaperone Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is none other than Jay Cruz, lifetime broadcaster, current program director, and audio engineer for HealthyLife.net Radio. Yes, that's right. Today we're speaking to the power behind all the voices that we hear here on HealthyLife.net. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us some behind-the-scenes insights into both you and HealthyLife.net.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here and happy to share.
Jay, there's so much here that it's hard to know where to begin. You know, when I was in high school, I used to look at all the people in my class and think, these people are real. They're not cardboard cutouts here for my entertainment. They're people with lives and families and emotions and thoughts just like me. And I always try to remember that about everyone I meet. So here we are, we greet and we say hello on a very regular basis, but we're doing a job, namely getting the show recorded. So we don't really have time to interact with you much, Jay. It's great to have this opportunity to get to know you better. And in addition to being the sound engineer for all of us, you have your own shows on HealthyLife.net. What are they called?
Well, I have a once-a-month show that airs on the first Wednesday every month. That's called Backbeat Radio, and that's basically a music show, and occasionally I might jump into another pop culture-related topic, sort of like Rolling Stone magazine might cover, you know, another subject in addition to a lot of their, you know, music and stuff. That's just if I happen to have a fascinating, cool guest, I'll sort of expand that, but always ask them a musical question so it qualifies. And then I have a sports show that's every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. It focuses on fantasy sports, but I also talk about, you know, current events and what's happening in real sports because for those that do play the fantasy sports game, you have to have a deep knowledge of real sports that you're, because that is how you play the game, off the real sports. So I do a show on that. And those are the two things that really got me into radio, music and sports.
That's really interesting. What kind of topic would you maybe interview for Backbeat Radio? Have you got an example?
Well, you know, outside of a musician or a local musician or something music related. A lot of times I might do a show, you know, without a guest and just kind of go off a lot of different music news and music happenings. But, for instance, there's a local tattoo shop and I want to get the owner of the tattoo shop in here because that's kind of a popular thing in rock and roll. And, you know, the whole tattoo world is something that there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of TV shows, but, you know, there's also a lot of questions for people, how they got into it, how they, you know, how would people go about getting, you know, a tattoo the first time, and, you know, what are experiences for someone who's been in that industry. So there's a lot of fascination there. We just haven't been able to schedule it yet, but, you know, that's something that's maybe non-musical that I would definitely would be putting on the Backbeat Radio show.
And it's a topic that people that are interested in music are also interested in. So it's just that broadening of the culture, I suppose we could say.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yes. It definitely goes hand in hand. So So that would be, that's something I'm actually trying to put together. And just, you know, sometime it will happen. It's just a scheduling thing with him and myself right now.
Yeah, and with just being in radio, was there anything in your childhood that kind of groomed you for the career?
Well, I listened as I was a little bit older than my younger sister, so I was kind of a little developed on my own, sort of on my path to being an only child. I did listen to a lot of radio, and you know, was already a sports fan and could identify, you know, songs and groups and singers and stuff when that came on. But somewhere around, I think, the sixth grade, there was a school play, and, you know, I would take anything to get out of the regular class. If there was an activity like music or, you know, in the school play or something, and, you know, just try to take part in an event. And when I met the teacher, who was the teacher of a different class at the school, that I just didn't have her as my main teacher, and I introduced to myself, and I'm like, hey, Miss Duffel, I'm here to try out for the play. And she goes, wow, you have a really lovely speaking voice. Would you be interested in being the narrator? And I'm like, do I get a speaking part? And she's like, you talk throughout the whole thing. And I go, I'll take it. Yeah, I just wanted to have a speaking part. So I forego acting to get into narrating was sort of the catch. And then from there, I became a lot more interested in narrating, broadcasting, and radio, and stuff like that.
So then how and when did you join HealthyLife.net?
Well, that was obviously fast forward from the sixth grade to about somewhere in my mid to late 30s. I worked in San Jose radio for pretty much out of high school. I did college radio and then was working through the 90s at a couple really cool rock stations that I grew up listening to. And eventually they sold and changed ownership, and I didn't really have a radio job to go to. So I ended up working in sporting good retail. And around Christmas of December 2000, I caught pneumonia, you know, from overworking, just one of those things. And as I was recovering from pneumonia, there was this call for me to, number one, I'm not going to be here doing this job next year. I have to make a lifestyle change. And a big part of that was, you know, making a move from Northern California to Southern California. And there were a couple things that, all words that popped into my mind when I was on the, you know, the antibiotics that they gave me in recovering from the pneumonia. They all started with the letter G, coincidentally. One was God. I ascertained that I had sort of lost my spiritual connection and was essentially kind of an angry person. I needed to fix that. I thought getting back in touch with God was a good step. Good health, obviously. I was sitting there with pneumonia on these, like, really heavy, whatever the pharmaceutical drugs they gave me to, you know, I wasn't completely, you know, I had to take them because I had to get over the pneumonia and didn't really know of any alternatives to get through it. So good health, God, and golf. I needed a hobby. So fast forward to that, I'm down in Southern California for a year, and I'm working part-time at another different sporting goods store, not as high pressure, and then our station owner, Linda McKenzie, came in looking for, she was looking at some golf clubs, and I'm like, well, if you need help, let me know. I'll, you know, answer any questions or stuff like that. She ends up, you know, checking out, and she's like, yeah, I'm not going to get those golf clubs today, but you know, you have a, kind of like Miss Stoffel back in the sixth grade upon meeting her. She's like, you have a great speaking voice. Have you ever considered doing radio? And I'm like, well, you know, I have about 15, 16 years of experience, and I'm here working at a sporting goods store. So, yes, I would like to hear more about your station. And it was called HealthyLife.net. So in meeting her, those three things sort of all came together in one. You know, Linda calls herself a God-based psychic and, you know, is very spiritually grounded in that, there's the golf angle. She was looking at golf clubs, and then the good health, HealthyLife.net. I think the alternative health that we talk about and tell people, you know, things to look out for in our foods and our medicine, that's so mainstream that can really have a backlash to us. So I think that was like the little mystical connection that came through that night. I was sitting there wondering how I was going to recover from the pneumonia.
It's really extraordinary. I mean, it's what I call everyday magic, because there you are thinking, I need God, good health, and some kind of recreation. I think I'm going to be choosing golf. And then here comes Linda looking for golf clubs, and she somehow sniffs out, obviously she's psychic, as she really is, and she sniffs out that you would be good on radio, and then you've got this big background in radio. I mean, you were in radio before, weren't you? I mean, it was a profession for you.
Oh, yeah. I had about 16, 17 years experience, you know, plus college. I was program director at my college station, and had worked a side job as a counselor for the old Columbia School of Broadcasting. So, you know, I've also been involved as a, you know, radio teacher, if you will. So, you know, the hosts that come to HealthyLife.net have experience, lifetime experience, and know their subjects. You know your subject very well. All I do is just really help put the radio kind of accoutrements to that. You know, how to transition in and out of breaks, things to look for, how to plan shows, and becoming a good listener. Because I think being a great radio host, you know, besides having a voice and knowing where to take a conversation, is how to listen to what is happening in the conversation and be able to extract the most from your guest and what's happening, what they're saying.
Yes, because I did an amazing singing class at the Omega Institute in upstate New York, and there the teacher was talking about the third ear being at the solar plexus. So we all talk about the third eye, which is in the middle of the forehead, but she said the third ear is at the solar plexus, and when you listen with the third ear, you're going to hear differently from if you don't. And it's that energetic listening that I think you're talking about, where you're listening to more than just words. You're listening to a story. You're listening to an energy vibration, and you're following that in a very particular manner. So it seems to me like that's what you're talking about. But before we go into that, I'm wondering if there are any other aspects of your childhood that led you towards a career in voice, a career in radio, because that's also what I call everyday magic, where it seems like you're just living your childhood, but meanwhile you're being groomed, you're being prepared for the future.
Well, one thing we did, I don't know what happens in schools now, but, you know, we used to read aloud from the same book, like, for instance, Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know, that was a book. We would get 30 copies. Every student in the class would have a copy, and at, you know, a certain period per day, a couple times a week, we would, you know, read during one of our, you know, class sessions. And, you know, it wasn't exactly a competition, but, you know, you did want to do good in front of your other students, because they can be brutal. You know, if you miss a word, they might chuckle. If you, you know, so I wanted
it's
to be...
It's a performance. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you want to get it right, and you want to do well.
Yes, and you recognize, okay, that student's a good reader. They get a couple pages, and then you're like, hey, I got a couple pages too. So it inspired that, and I guess that was like really kind of quick on-the-job training for, you know, here's some news copy. It's live breaking news, and, you know, or here's a commercial copy. We need this done, and the commercial has to air in an hour. You know, stuff like that where, you know, you don't get all the time to pre-read and go, oh, this will be a tricky word or something like that, and kind of read copy cold and make it sound like you're not reading and make it make sense.
Yes. Yeah. So, and any physical attributes that could have led to having to develop your voice or learning about speech?
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this, like, when we were talking in the past, but I had a situation where I was actually tongue-tied, and I had to have a procedure. There's a little, if you look between your fingers and sort of spread your hand out, you see a little web, but very small little web that our fingers are connected. Well, that also can happen to the certain percentage of people on the tip of their tongue, and it can overgrow and cause the development of your adult teeth coming in to not come in correctly, come in with an overbite. And so I had to go through this procedure and retraining of my tongue. Otherwise, I was starting to develop a bit of a lisp somewhere in elementary school. I can't exactly remember, you know, what period, but from about the, you know, fourth through maybe sixth grade, I had to, like, twice a week go to this class with a, you know, a therapist that, you know, re-taught me how to do things with my mouth, lips, and tongue especially. And I, for a while, I really struggled thinking, you know, I'm this kid, I don't even know how to swallow correctly. But, you know, it was just this thing, this little overgrowth, and, I don't know, there's a fair amount of people that go through this. I've met a couple friends who had to go through the same thing. But, you know, it redeveloped in my articulation, I think, and then my voice just happened to have a natural tone that was, I guess, God-given. And at some point, you know, around the teenage years when the voice dropped, it became obvious that I had the sound that might be a radio DJ voice.
Well, that is definitely an everyday magic story from my point of view, because you went from tongue-tied to radio show host, and that is quite the progression. It's just amazing how we do have physical attributes that need attention, and then they're actually, that's part of our journey towards our destiny. I think that's a really, really interesting story in that regard. And did you, you know, I'm just thinking, you were probably growing up during the age of tape recorders, and did you have fun with that?
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, if I grew up during cell phone years, I would have maybe been a little more oriented to what those things can do with video and camera. But, you know, and we had cameras too, but we used to have to take photo down to the photo lab, and they'd develop it, and a week later, you'd see how your pictures turned out. But with tape recorders, it was something I would record TV shows, and was very big into comedy, actually. My parents and my friend's parents had comedy albums, like George Carlin, for instance. And once I listened to him, he had some skits where he was actually an old radio guy at a time. But my friends and I would do these, we would make up these skits and interview each other and going, okay, you're going to be this character, and I'm going to interview you, and basically, the goal was to make each other crack up laughing.
I love it. I'm also a huge fan of comedy. You know, my parents and their friends used to sit and listen to comedy albums. I'm talking about vinyl, and this would be in the 60s. And it was just, that was the best. It was absolutely great to see people having fun together like that. And I just love stand-up comedy. I'm going to have to get a list from you, Jay. Find out who your favorite comedians are. And then we can compare notes on who we love and stand-up comedy. I just think it's an amazing art. And for me, it's like my shadow career. If I weren't doing what I'm already doing, that would be something I might consider. Although I'm a little bit shy. Are you also shy? Yeah, we are on the radio, but I'm somewhat shy. Are you?
You know, that's kind of my natural disposition. In fact, I remember somewhere in high school, you know, when I was really becoming interested in being a DJ and starting to kind of talk about it, and I was, you know, doing things at the high school. I was doing public address announcements at our football games and basketball games, and I read, like, the morning news for, homeroom and stuff, and I was, you know, seriously considering. And then there was this one girl who was, you know, she was pretty girl, and at one point she turns around it was an English class we had together, and she's like, "You're going to get into radio?" She's like, "Well, you have a nice voice, but you seem very quiet. You know, you've, like, barely talked to me all semester, and I'm sitting right in front of you, and, you know, you're a quiet, you know, studious person. You might want to come out of your shell a little bit." And, you know, it was funny because I ran into her years later, coincidentally, when I was at a grocery store about to go on and do an air shift, and I told her to tune in, and told her I remembered her giving me those words of encouragement, you know, in a kind of a tough love way. Not really, not that we were dating or anything, but it's just like, you know, you're kind of shy. Maybe you need to fix something, either whatever your goal is or whatever your shyness is, if you want to, you know, pursue that. So, yeah, I'm naturally a quiet person if I'm not on the radio. You know, I get a microphone, and then I'll talk all day.
And that's all great stuff. stand-up comedy line from this one comedian. He said, it's great in America. They pay you a lot to talk into a mic. He was talking about stand-up comedy, not radio, but it was a very funny idea. Oh, you just talk into a mic and you earn money that way. Really, really fun comedy line. But why do you think radio is important, Jay?
For me, I grew up listening to stories, either newscasts, especially baseball, because the game has a certain pace where it lends to the broadcaster to kind of need to fill some time. And, you know, there's always stories about players from the past or, you know, games and different events that the announcer would remember. And I would enjoy hearing the stories almost as much as the result of the actual game. So it was entertaining for me to hear that, and it then I started just recognizing stories everywhere. You know, we obviously movies and shows and stories, but you know, people that would come over and hang out with my parents, you know, my parents didn't exclude me from the conversation, so I was a curious kid and I would ask, you know, many adults just questions about life and was fascinated by their stories. So And I think stories is a great way to learn and a great way to teach people and just a great way to, you know, sort of bond with maybe people you just met for the first time or even if you're, you know, reconnecting. You know, we tell stories about what we did last summer or how that vacation was or, you know, how the new career is after leaving a career and maybe starting one or how is raising children, you know, what's going on with your kids. There's stories everywhere. We just need to find them, appreciate them, and certainly share them and respect them from others when we hear them, too. I think it's a big part of life. And I know, you know, when Neil does his segment on the show, you know, those are stories. Those are stories passed down, and he's telling stories. And it's very important, hugely important.
I think we learn more from stories than we realize. And I've tried to teach and train my students to include storytelling in their teaching process because people learn so much more from a story because a story, it's like they say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, a story paints a picture with words and it's worth so much more than just the words that are used because you've painted a movie, in fact, when you tell a story. And it's just so powerful. And I'm just mesmerized listening to you, and yeah, you do have this great voice, which is also, I wouldn't say mesmerizing, but it is entrancing. And it's very, very powerful. This is fabulous, Jay. It's absolutely fabulous. I tell you what, can you tell us how people could contact you and the healthylife.net if they wanted to send you an email or let you know about something?
Yes, probably the easiest way they can find me is by, if you go to a social media and you want to find somebody, you can type in jcruzmedia@yahoo.com. That's a email you can reach me at, and that's the connecting way to find me on different social media sites like Facebook and Instagram, and they can find me and follow me there. Or, you know, jay@healthylife.net, since we're on healthylife.net. You know, it'd be nice to hear from a listener or a question or a you know, anything would be nice to hear. Sometimes we, you know, we broadcast 1,000 shows and maybe hear from one or two people. You know, there's a small percent of people that contact us, but they're, you know, being entertained and listening to what we do. And I just got to trust that they keep tuning in. But yeah, they can find me, jay@healthylife.net or jcruzmedia@yahoo.com.
That's perfect. Jay, I think we need to take a break now. And, you know, when we come back, I've got a whole lot more questions that I want to ask you. So, everyone, we are listening to Jay Cruz, sound engineer, who is also the radio show host of two shows, Backbeat and Fantasy Sports Friday, here on HealthyLife.net. Join us again after the break. We are going to continue.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future.
Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Shopera.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now. There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4WindsAcademy.org or call 513-891-8062.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Chopra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Today we are talking to someone who has become one of the favorite people in my life, and I am not saying this lightly at all. We are speaking to Jay Cruz of HealthyLife.net, who's the audio engineer and also radio show host. Jay, thank you again for coming on our show to share some behind-the-scenes insights, as well as sharing your personal stories and viewpoint. Shall we continue?
Yes, and thanks for inviting me as well. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, when I say that you're one of the favorite people in my life, I know it's going to make you blush, but it doesn't matter because we're on the radio and no one can see you blushing. But it's because you're so good at your job, and it's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to meet someone who's good at their job. No fuss, no trouble, everything's okay, you're always so reassuring, and you're dealing with anxious people, they've got performance anxiety, there's issues, and you're always so level about the whole thing. I appreciate it. I appreciate being in a situation where I'm on a team with you, and I just want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for those kind words.
Just to know, this is not a small thing for me to say that, and I mean every single word. So let's talk a little bit more about internet radio
And
the development of HealthyLife.net, because, you know, I'm relatively new to HealthyLife.net, and it's like this amazing and fantastic discovery for me. I was told about it by a PR person who said, get on that radio, that internet radio, it's better than broadcast radio. It's the best thing you can possibly do to get your name out there, to get your books out there. And he was very anxious that I wouldn't be accepted. And then next thing, Linda was offering me a show too. It was an unbelievable piece of everyday magic and just phenomenal. So tell us more about HealthyLife.net and a little history about it. When did internet radio first become a thing? Well, and what are some of the differences between internet radio and broadcast radio? Those are the kind of things I'm interested in.
Okay. I think, well, internet radio was starting to happen in the very late 90s. You know, the internet was picking up and growing and becoming a new everyday thing and kind of the new shiny object. Of course, there were, you know, websites, email, and I knew some people in the music industry who were starting internet radio stations. You know, within the music or radio industry, all the DJs think they know the best songs to play all the time, and most of the stations put a ton of money into research to come up with these playlists that they think are going to get the biggest, safest, most money-making audience. So internet radio started as a kind of a rebellion to some of that, but quickly, you know, it became cost prohibitive. The radio stations on internet are under a different pay scale than the traditional terrestrial radio in paying royalties to playing the music. You know, basically, if you're a music station, say classic rock, you know, it's the bands like Led Zeppelin, The Who, The Rolling Stones that are really what people are tuning into. It maybe isn't necessarily the radio station or its personalities. They're tuning into the music, and I think music radio now is suffering because it hasn't changed, and every person has access to making their own playlist on multiple streams like Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, and can play it anywhere. They can play it in their car, play it at work, and all of that. However, there's a lot of people with a lot of interesting things to say, and talk radio is still viable, both terrestrial and on the internet. And on internet, we can, here at HealthyLife.net, we can go deeper into these subjects. And that was actually one of the things when Linda and I first met and she told me about the station. I thought, it's a great idea as long as you don't change it. Too many radio stations will change. There's an ebb and flow. You might be popular for a little bit, then maybe less popular later in the year. And if you keep becoming less popular, they hit the panic button, figure the format's no good, and they need to change everything when, you know, maybe it might come back and be more popular. We've seen some ebbs and flows over the years here, and, you know, a lot of it you can chart to the economy, political things, you know, different things where people are just, like, maybe not tuning into the radio, or there's other times when maybe times are tough and more people are tuning into the radio. So, you know, but our host, we work with everyone. We care about your success, want our host to succeed, and really, you know, try to do the best to give you every possible advantage that we can help with to do that. You know, we're all in this together, and we're all a team. You know, this is built up of a lot of individuals, and we're all in a lot of different places, and, you know, but that's one big difference, is that internet has a bit more freedom of talking and having being able to get deeper into topics that maybe, you know, mainstream radio doesn't want to touch, because they're still very afraid of losing listeners every day of the week. Where if you put on a good show and a good subject, yeah, it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but at least you're doing it with truth, integrity, and the people that listen and enjoy it, they're going to come back, and that's part of the reason they're going to come back. They see us as a station that's real and not just, you know, another cookie-cutter format of, you know, news talk, just spinning the, you know, words of the day or whatever.
And there's a big difference, because you at HealthyLife.net, you reach the whole world, don't you?
That's true. We think we've been listened to in, like, over 180 countries. I mean, how many are there? Almost 200? Something like that.
You know, I don't know. I'm ashamed to admit I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
You know, I often think about it in the middle of the night, and I think, how can I live in this world and not know answers to that kind of question? But still, yeah. So internet radio is reaching the whole world, potentially. I guess, what does it depend on, the syndications, or how does it depend how far you reach?
Yeah, people, if they have a web connector and have heard about us, they can reach us. And part of that is, you know, each of our hosts promotes their show, and they each bring a different audience. You know, they all have different followers that, you know, may like a few other shows on the network. You know, don't expect everyone to listen to every single show, but in reality, are you loyal to, say, CBS television or ABC? I only watch ABC, you know, nothing else. You know?
Yes.
Or,
yes.
You know, so we go to the shows that we gravitate to, but at least the theme of our station is that, you know, it's a positive radio station. You're not going to tune in and hear people ranting and talking about controversy or, you know, trying to convince you who to vote for or those kind of things where, you know, talk radio, that's the design, is like, let's put out a topic, let's talk gun control today. That'll fire everyone up. We'll have positive and negative response, and my job is done for the day as a host. I just let these people scream at me, and supposedly that gets ratings, generates heat, and, you know, I just don't have time in my life for that anymore, and I think most people get to a certain point, and they cut that out, too, so you're not going to get that here, and I think it's, you know, I hate to say it's a safe place, but it's a place that you won't get verbally attacked or, you know, hear two people arguing, because that's just too common. We don't need any more of that. You know, we do talk about deep subjects and controversial topics, but, you know, our hosts offer solutions or ways to get around maybe what's troubling them as opposed to focusing on the trouble. Let's find a solution. That's a big theme with our station.
What you just said is so important because I signed up with a broadcast radio PR company, and they couldn't even get me onto anything because my topic was the importance of the word yes. And they said everything is so negative at the moment and the news is so bad, and these people were beginning to hate working with the media. They said the media is just so full of all this negativity. And as they were saying that, I was hearing about HealthyLife.net, all positive talk radio. And I think that's this big, big, big difference with HealthyLife.net, is that, yeah, we open up some topics that are difficult, but we put a positive angle on it. We're looking for the positivity. We're looking, because the thing and its opposite live in the same space. And we don't have to dwell on the negative. We can say, yes, this is hard. Here's what we can do about it. And that, for me, is one of the greatest joys of HealthyLife.net. I imagine, Jay, that you have learned a tremendous amount in your job just listening to hosts and their interviewees and what people are saying.
You know, it saved me thousands upon thousands of dollars in potential therapist bills and maybe college classes. It's, you know, 20 years of being able to work and hear and absorb, you know, positive thought, solutions to issues, and it's I can't even put a price tag on it. It's saved me probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not, you know, had I, you know, gone through and maybe pursued, maybe I need to see a therapist about this. But for some reason, a host show will, you know, kind of cover that topic or help me find the answer within myself. And that's what a lot of it, you know, does lead to, that, you know, you can spend thousands on therapy, but eventually you have the answer within ourself and we have the power to change ourself. Therapist is going to, you know, give you a roadmap and maybe take you down the road a little bit, but eventually we're responsible for ourselves. And that's another message that I've gotten through, you know, all the shows and all the years here at HealthyLife.net. And I think that's a very empowering thing.
That's so wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners about radio shows and HealthyLife.net?
Well, if you are listening and you enjoy a show, you know, write an email to your host that you enjoy and just say, you know, I enjoy your show. Throw them a follow on social media and support them, and, you know, tell other friends about us, you know, spread the word, you know, and you don't have to talk about the whole network, but if you find a show or a host that you enjoy, support them and let that host know that you support them. It can be a lonely, one-sided venture, just because of the nature of radio and good grief. Do we even talk to our own family on the phone anymore? So getting phone calls sometimes is few and far between, but, you know, through communication, reach out to a host and share it with a like-minded friend, especially if you hear maybe something that definitely would help, something a friend is going through, you know, definitely turn them on to our station.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jay. I certainly can say that you inspire, you entertain, and you educate. And I'm so thankful to you and HealthyLife.net and the efficiency and competence and professionalism that you display. Thank you very, very, very much. I've really enjoyed working with you, and fantastic that you're sharing all this information with us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me today.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, please join us again here on the Shapra Show, because Neil is going to give his report from the spirit realm. Thank you.
All right, that was great.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait for you to read the documents. I will send it to you again.
Yes.
And there's one place where I need you to, it's marked in.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to The Shapra Show, and I'm Neil, very pleased to be sharing with you my shamanic journeys to the spirit realm and reporting back on the guidance I received directly from the spirits. The purpose of this journey today is to travel to the spirit realm of the upper world to request the spirits that they give me guidance around the topic of how to resolve and manage conflict. I think a very pertinent topic, of course. So I go up and up in the usual way, and in the back of my mind, the kind of conflict that I'm thinking of for today is more interpersonal. So conflict between family members, between friends, conflict between enemies. So at this point, I'm not thinking of groups or countries or nations or societies, but rather more on the individual level. I go up and up and eventually come to the wide pink stairway that I've encountered many times before, which is like an entryway to the upper world. What's interesting on this occasion is that the steps are all wet. They're covered in water. And my first thought as I see this is of them being slippery and tricky or dangerous. And I understand that this is implying that this very topic is a tricky topic and easy to slip up on. So I go up the stairs carefully, sticking to one side where there is a banister that I can hold on to. And I think there's a message in this as well, that when one is trying to deal with this tricky topic of resolving conflict, one needs to have some safety, something to hold on to. Then I see another image which is symbolic. I see flames and smoke in front of me, and I know that I need to walk through these to get to meet the spirits. And the message here is emphasizing that this topic is one that one doesn't necessarily want to get into. One wants to, in fact, avoid the heat of this topic, the heat of conflict, the heat of resolving and managing conflict. But, of course, one has to go into it and go through it to get to the other side. So I do push myself and walk through the flames and smoke, and I get to the other side, and what's interesting is that instead of what I usually see, which is a clearing under the trees where the spirits have gathered, to my surprise, I see a pool, and it's like a sunny day, and this is a pool that one might expect outside a hotel, in the grounds of a hotel, a large pool, and there, sitting around it, are my spirit teachers, lounging around the pool. And here, too, is an important message, and that of being relaxed, that in order to even go into this topic of resolving conflict, what is really important is to do it in a relaxed manner. This is the key emotional approach. And I guess that's asking a lot for this topic, but it's very constructive to approach resolving conflict in a relaxed way, just as if one's hanging out the pool on a nice sunny day, no pressure, no rush, and the feeling that we're all enjoying it, or we're all in it together. So if I have conflict with another person, we need to appreciate that it's not just our or my conflict, it's their conflict as well. We're all in it together. We're sharing an experience. And although there might be the sense of great antagonism, it's very helpful to understand that this is a shared experience and one has something in common with the person that we're in conflict with. And this applies especially when it comes to enemies, to try and remind oneself that it's a shared experience, something that we both have. And I ask, well, with family members, for example, how can one resolve and manage conflict? And they show me an image of somebody standing on a box, and it's like a soapbox, like one would see people, politicians talking on. And then this person steps down from the soapbox, and I understand that this is illustrating that when there is conflict, we can feel that we are up on a soapbox and that what we think and say and believe is the most important thing. There's a feeling and a conviction that we are right and that we actually we need to step down from our soapboxes if we want to resolve and manage conflict. Stepping down from that elevated soapbox position and be willing to let go of our strongly held beliefs and ideas and attitudes. They then show me two of the people sitting at the pool next to each other with their feet in the water, and they're enjoying this experience. And here too is a message. And I just want to say that this is so typical of a shamanic journey where there are scenes that are symbolic and are giving one the crucial information to do with the topic one has brought on the journey. So this is the message that when one is in a situation where you're both relaxing and enjoying something together, this is conducive to resolving conflict. One of the problems is that one feels in a conflict situation that one has been wronged, that the other person has treated us badly. And this is a very big stumbling block to moving forward, feeling that you've been wronged or hurt. And they say that it's useful if one can go to a place of saying sorry, that that's really important, hearing somebody saying they're sorry. This creates a very big opening for moving forward, but it takes a lot of letting go of the ego to say one is sorry. And the problem, big problem in resolving conflict, the spirits tell me, is that the parties involved usually feel that they each want to be the winner. They each want to come out on top, above the other person, and they're saying that this is a key part in resolving conflict, to be able to let go of or transcend needing to feel that one must be the winner and one must come out on top. And they say you can't force everybody to say sorry, but just for yourself you can take responsibility for your portion of the conflict situation and heading into resolution by saying, I'm sorry, or I made a mistake, or I misunderstood, or I jumped to a conclusion. And that should be helpful. I ask, is resolving conflict with a friend, conflict with a family member? And they say that, yes, with family members, one of the problems is that because there is this connection that can be ended, that you are related to them, one often feels that one can just not bother with resolving the conflict because you'll always be in connection with them. Whereas with a friend, if you break the friendship, if you don't resolve the conflict, then usually that's a complete break. And the spirits say that it's really important to bring compassion to resolving conflict, to recognize that we're all in the same boat and that compassion helps everybody. It's not a selfish thing. It's actually good for everybody. And I want to remind the listeners that when I do these journeys, I usually have a lot of information that I have to edit because I keep it short to fit into the radio show. But if you go onto our website, you'll find the full transcript of the journey. So I thank the spirits. This really was a very interesting and useful journey. Thank you. Vivian will bring messages from crystals. Thank you.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hello and welcome back to the Chaperas Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. This is the part of the show where I, Vivian, talk to crystals and talk about crystals. And today we are talking to bustamite. Bustamite is a very rare stone that comes mainly from two locations, Spain and South Africa. And apparently bustamite has also been found in Brazil together with rhodonite and also in the state of New Jersey, but I've never seen such specimens myself. My first encounter with bustamite was via Bob Jackson, who for a long time was Melody's significant other. Melody and Bob spoke about bustamite in hushed tones, and this encouraged me to purchase a few pieces. But I have to be honest, I didn't get it. I didn't know what to do with it, and I couldn't feel anything particular emanating from these little bustamite stones. Then, on a trip to South Africa, I was sorting through a basket of tumbled stones and happened upon a particularly attractive stone that was a combination of different sort of pinks and lilac and purple and also brown. And I fell in love with it. I didn't know what it was, except I knew it was mine. You know, it was just that feeling. The stone virtually hops into your hand and your hand closes into it and you feel like you're never going to let go. It turned out that it was bustamite, and I felt like I'd won the jackpot. And that's exactly it. That's the energy of bustamite. If you can get a piece, you have won the jackpot, a jackpot of good fortune. Once again, when we look and see what Melody has to say about bustamite, it doesn't seem all that different from what other stones have to offer. The descriptions are flat, two-dimensional compared to the actual experience. Melody says things like powerful energy work, stabilization of energy, removal of energy blockages, realignment of energy channels. So those are things that you can read about, and other stones seem to have that, like yellow kunzite aligns all your chakras over a 24-hour period. You know, these are the properties of stones. That's what stones do. But then she also says slightly more exciting things like access to angelic beings, which I know is something people really like to hear about. And then she does say, used in meditation, provides one with both a safe and sacred place where the soul is honored and where the inner being can feel the perfection of health, harmony, and the congruity of the universe. Here's the thing, I can attest to the truthfulness of these words. but from experience. And I can also say that this experience of Bastamite even transcends the word uplifting. It seems to me that Bastamite has sent out a call to those who will hear it. And why do I say this? Because 2 days ago, a new customer wrote me an email in which he said, "It seems that the stone I need at this time is Bastamite. I notice that there isn't any available except for small stones. Do you by any chance have any?" So this is a new customer that I'd only met once. And it was very strange because it just so happens that this year in Tucson, I did buy some rough Bastamite that came from Spain. And it just so happens that a few days before I got this email, I had taken the raw Bastamite to a friend of mine who has lapidary equipment, and he had very kindly shaped the Bastamite into beautiful wands and chakra stones. And therefore, it just so happened that I did have some Bastamite for sale. And the reason that I bought the raw Bastamite in the first place was because one of my graduates had asked me for a Bastamite wand, like the one pictured in my book, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. I told her that it would be a miracle if we were to find such a wand, and it would be pricey since Bastamite is essentially unavailable. And I also said that somehow, uncannily, when people ask me for unusual special pieces, they somehow magically do manifest. And so it was, because energy follows intention. Having meditated with Bastamite and worked with it more experimentally since getting this new supply, I can report that Bastamite does its work by transporting one into a different realm of consciousness. I still have much to explore here, but for now, I can say that that is how it administers the properties that Melody references. When I ask Bastamite what message it wants to convey to you at this time, Bastamite says, "We all need to be able to escape from the harsh realities of life. Life can be beautiful. The beauty of nature, the beauty of friendship, the beauty of family love. But these are the best moments. And sadly, a lot of life can be cruel and crushing. However, life on Earth is not the only reality in the universe. And it is, in fact, one of the most fickle and transient realities. I remind your soul that difficult life events are actually very temporary, and I reconnect you with other truths about your existence as a spirit that have more enduring and more significant qualities than current circumstances. By offering perspectives from a completely different vantage point and by refreshing your soul and spirit, you become realigned with your soul's purpose and you become reinvigorated and inspired. You realize that it isn't this moment that counts as itself. It only counts as a step before the next one, and you can decide what and where this moment leads to. The difficulties of this moment are a figment of time. Rather pay attention to the enduring path ahead where you, as a spirit, are going. Thank you, Bastamite, for this excellent perspective that is actually providing very practical help. I have felt a wave of inspiration and creativity since I began working with you, and I can see how using Bastamite in healing sessions is providing tangible benefits. And thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Chaperer Show, where we explore this big adventure called life. Please join us again next month.